very pleased to be joined by Alex Bono of Toronto FC. Alex, thanks so much for joining us. Congratulations on the extension. How long was this in the works, and how important was it to you to get this extension done at this time?
Hey, Jeff. First, thanks for having me on. Always love talking to you and hanging out. It had been in the works for a couple months, just kind of something where I wanted to be in Toronto. The front office and the staff wanted me to be in Toronto. So we said, let's try and get a deal done. And after some negotiations, we were able to reach an agreement, and I'm really happy to be staying in Toronto.
Did you have, and I don't know how much you can tell us about this, but I mean, we'd heard that there was some interest from European teams. I don't know the degree of interest, but I've talked to you a little bit. It seems to me that it's something you may aspire to at some point in your career, but is this just now not the right time for that? Or am I reading too much into your sentiments?
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's not really something that I was focused on. It's stuff that obviously I had heard as well, and people had asked me about. And I said, listen, you know, that's not it's not in my frame of mind right now. It's not something that I'm worried about right now. If something happens, then it happens. But until then, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it type thing. I was totally focused on beginning the season well here in Toronto, the Champions League run, and then coming back into league play. So that was my full focus and full attention. And obviously, you know, that's where the sport is most popular, and that's where the highest level of competition is. And obviously I aspire to at some point make that jump if the opportunity presents itself. But until then, I'm very happy with playing my trade in Toronto, and it's a very good place for me to develop, and very happy to be part of this organization.
Alex, when did it all come together for you, do you think?
Oh, wow. I would say my first year, I was down with TFC2 and hit a low point in the middle of the first year, towards the end of the first season. And I said, you know, I can't make a career doing what I'm doing right now. So from that, you know, at that point, I started doing extra stuff in the field, extra stuff in the gym, making sure I was in the best shape I could be. And then from there, you know, I really had to give my hat off to my goalkeeper coach, John Conway, and the rest of the coaching staff at Toronto for really bringing me along and having the faith and trust in me, in which I'm so grateful for, and really give me the opportunity to thrive in our system.
How important was it to you to get that call up to the national team and get that cap against Bolivia? Because, you know, we are starting a new World Cup cycle. And as we saw, you know, the team that the U.S. put out against France in that friendly just ahead of the World Cup was an awfully young team. Like, it's pretty clear, you know, I'm just looking at the roster right now, Alex, and there's a core there. A lot of you 24, 25, 22-year-old guys, like, you can look at that team, and there's a core there. And how important was it for you to kind of establish yourself as part of that core this year?
Yeah, it's really exciting just from an overall perspective that there's so much young talent in that, you know, that are American citizens. And you know, obviously not making the World Cup, which is obviously happening right now, is really disappointing as a country and as a soccer country. But for me, the silver lining is it gives guys like me an opportunity to go in and show we should be a part of this team going forward. You know, we don't have to wait, you know, a year from now after the World Cup or a year and a half from now until the next cycle starts to really try and make our mark. And for me, that's a super exciting experience that, you know, I've always strived to play at that level and be on that team and wear that crest. And to be able to do it, you know, the first time, it's exciting. You cherish that moment, but you also want to do it, you know, X amount more times, and that makes you work even harder to get back to that moment.
What went through your mind when you're out there, you're playing Bolivia, you know, and you talked about, you know, you were down with TFC2 and sort of the aha moment you went through. Is it at that point that everything you've done that sort of comes into focus for you?
A little bit. That split second when, you know, when you're standing out there waiting for the game to start and the anthem's playing and that wave of emotions rushes over you, and you think to yourself for that split second, wow, you know, 4 years ago, that I think 4 years from then I'd be here. Mm-hmm. And it's really exciting, and it's something that I had hoped would be my career path, but to see it come to fruition and to be awarded with my first cap was really such a special experience for me. And like I said, you get the first one, and then you want the second one. You want the second one, you want the third one, and it continues, and that's for me, that's how it should be playing at any level of soccer, but especially with your national team, it's such a such an amazing experience, an amazing team to be a part of, that you just really want to get back there and continue working hard.
Yeah, and it's interesting because when you think of the U.S. team, you know, quite often you do think of the goalkeepers. You go back to 1994 and Tony Meola, and I know Stephen Brunt and myself, we have a podcast, The Lead. We talked to Tony. We talked to Tony this week about 94 and just about the how goalkeeping is really, it's kind of it's almost the signature spot in the American team, isn't it? Because a lot of American goalkeepers have had a lot of success in Europe.
It has been in the past, and obviously you look at some of the goalkeepers that have, you know, that have been mainstays in that U.S. lineup, and you're saying, wow, you know, that's that's an amazing goalkeeper. That's an amazing career that he's had. And to put any of us guys that are coming up in that frame, you know, at this moment is obviously very premature because just, you know, solely because of the careers that those guys have had.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, you know, obviously I strive to be like those guys and playing World Cups like those guys. And that's, you know, that's what it's all about right there. They've set the standard for us as American goalkeepers. And now it's our job to live up to that standard and make sure we do the best to carry on that goalkeeper legacy that the United States has.
In conversation with Alex Bono. All right, let's shift focus a little bit to Toronto FC. You guys had the run to the CONCACAF through the CONCACAF Champions League. Safe to say the regular season hasn't gone the way you guys wanted it to or the way a lot of people thought it would go. Is this kind of a combination of injuries and also that Champions League, bit of a Champions League hangover? Is that, do you think, Alex, at this point, just an excuse?
You know, we don't like to make excuses as a team, and you obviously look at that and we wish that the season would have started a little bit better for us in regard to the league. But we have caught a bit of the injury bug, and especially when you get that in one position, it's tough to make up. You know, you can have so much depth on your team, but when you run through four, five, six center backs, then your numbers are obviously dwindling a little thin. And as we start to get guys healthy, and you've seen the difference as we've come into kind of the summer part of the season, that guys are starting to get healthy. We're starting to find our moments to regain the form that we had last season. And, you know, it's full speed ahead from us. We know that there's a lot of season left, a ton of season left. And at no point are we saying, you know, this mountain is too steep to climb. You know, we're all in for it all the way until the very end. And we're going to try and make a run just like we did last year.
Now, the World Cup is on right now. I know you've got a lot in your plate, but do you find yourself watching the World Cup a little differently after having had that, you know, that one match international experience? Do you kind of look at it through a different lens after getting that first cap?
I don't think so. Not right now, anyways. I think that if it comes to a situation where the U.S. is playing in a World Cup and I'm a part of that system, then I might look at it a little bit differently. But right now, I'm just enjoying the soccer that's being played. You know, the summer season for soccer is not always the most crowded. You know, we have MLS obviously that goes over the summer, but the European season is off right now, so it's always on at the training ground. You know, we get into training and the game's just starting around 8 o'clock. We're eating lunch and the 11 o'clock game is finishing up, and then you get home and the 2 o'clock game starting, and you kind of have that all day soccer experience that, you know, we can't get enough of it when we're at training. So when we go home, we watch it even more. That, so it's really exciting.
I was going to say, with 2026 coming up too, that I would think for anybody, I mean, that's, you know, that I mean, it's really galvanized the soccer community in North America, but I would think for players as well, 2026 has got to be, you know, it's just something you're going to be thinking about, or I don't know, but thinking about, because I'm trying to do the math here. You could still be around. You could still be around at 2026, but just the
to make sure the body holds up.
Yeah, I was going to say, as long as the body holds up, who knows what'll happen between now and 2026? But is that kind of created a buzz among soccer players as well, in addition to fans, among the national team guys, or even just among the U.S. guys? Is there kind of a buzz about 2026?
Oh, sure. I mean, especially being here in Toronto with the guys, we have a bunch of Canadians on our team that are really excited about it. And obviously the World Cup field has expanded to 48 by that point. So there are a lot of opportunities to see a lot of great games. You know, you look at some of the guys right now that are late teens, early 20s, that could be, you know, closer or right in the middle of their prime when that World Cup comes here. And that's really exciting. You know, I'll be 32 at the time, and I was just at camp with guys who were 18, 19, who are going to be right in the middle of their prime and have already have so much ability and so much talent. It's going to be really exciting. Obviously, there's a World Cup before then, but to be able to host it here in North America and to see what it did for the United States in 94 and how far soccer culture has come along since then, the possibility of it growing astronomically is really exciting to think about, you know, just 8 years into the distance. And in World Cup terms, that's not a very long time.
Good stuff as always, Alex. Really appreciate you doing this. Congratulations on the new deal, and stay healthy, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Jeff. I hope so.
Take care.